We on? Now then, Ray Winston here. The real one. Close enough. Doing a new podcast with me mate Tony. Soprano, that is.
Oh, how you doing?
Talking all the big stuff. Birds, scraps, films.
And of course, men's mental health. With studio guests such as arch feminist and top broad Deborah Francis White and disgraced scumbag comedian Dapper Laughs.
Something for everyone. We're trying to be better men, ain't we, Tone?
That's right. We're bad boys done good.
Available on YouTube and to download on all good audio platforms. Go on, get off your hands, you dopey c***.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane. Greetings, one and all. As I record this, the weather's. I don't know what it's doing. It was sunny a little while ago, a couple of days ago, and then today it's winter again. And I know this is the time of year it does this. You know, we have a burst, and we're like, oh, here we go, shorts on, everybody. And now it's all big winter coats. Yeah, my mate, Lauren Poppy. Put on Instagram the other day, she was going like, you know, one day like she's like running around in a t-shirt and now it's like this big, you know, we've got to wrap around our North Face sleeping bag coat. It's nuts out there. But yes, here we are. Before we get onto it, a couple of things I need to do. Become a Patreon. If you become a Patreon, you will get you'll get to watch behind the scenes recordings of this episode. So go to patreon.com/membrane podcast, and you can pledge what you want. Well, we're going to be doing other things as well. We're getting there. We're two old fellas working it out. There's going to be other stuff for our Patreons that we're going to do. So this is what we're doing at the minute. And just, you know, bung us a couple of quid. You know, if everyone listening to this gave us a pound, we'd be laughing. We're bloody laughing. So if you could do that for us, go to our Patreon page, pledge us some money. And honestly, it all goes back into the podcast and it helps us keep the lights on, it keeps us doing what we're doing. Because, at the end of the day, we need a bit of help, a little bit of help. But not much, a little bit, just to keep us going. And if you could do that for us, that'd be great. And like we say, you get exclusive behind-the-scenes footage. You get access, early access to the episodes as well. We're going to be doing a thing as well. We're going to be doing all sorts of things. Message us. And send us a line. Send us a message. We'll have a chat. And any patrons listen to this, if there's anything you want us to do or you think would be better, things we need to tweak, get involved. You see, and as a Patreon, you see, you can do that. You become almost like one of our producers. You see? So do that for us. Go to patreon.com/membrane podcast and become part of the team. Why not, eh? Why not? Come and do that for us. Also, check out our stylish Insane in the Membrane t-shirts from buythatmerch.co.uk. That's the boys from SOS Clothing. They're now doing another, they've got another branch of that where they're doing band tees, they're doing merch for all other podcasts and things like that. And our merch is on there as well now. And initially we were doing, it was just like a gold t-shirt with the black writing down the front. But now there's all manner of colours. There's green, red, black, grey, all manner of things. So go to that website, go to buythatmerch.co.uk, tell them we sent you. And let's all run around in the merch looking stylish. Anyway, well, yeah, hopefully the weather will pick up. I think it will. But then, of course it will. And then you get yourself a T-shirt. Or you just wear it around the house. Look brilliant around the house. Why not, eh? Also, we've also got our limited edition Insane in the Membrane coffee beans from WoganCoffee.com, based in Bristol. If you use the exclusive Membrane listener promo code Membrane, that's one word, you'll get 10% off our podcast packs. So do that for us. Go to WoganCoffee.com, use the promo code Membrane, one word, and you'll get 10% off your coffee. So do that for us. That'd be fantastic as well. Good people doing good things. Lovely. Also, we're on the socials. Now, I always forget to plug this. In the 3 years we've been doing this, I keep forgetting. And I watch other people. We've been watching other people and see what they do. And they're plug all the time. And I always forget to do it. I don't know why. They're all separate in my mind. But we are on Instagram. Insane in the Membrane is on Instagram. Insane in the Fembrane is also on Instagram. I Am Rich Wilson is on Instagram. Also, our radio show, The Tuned Up Time Machine, that is also on Instagram. So jump up and connect with that. And you can drop us messages on there. You can contact me on there. And it's me that deals with them. We don't have someone else dealing with them, so you can contact me directly. So do that for us. So it's at I Am Rich Wilson. It is at Membrane Podcast. It is at Fembrane Podcast. And at the Tuned Up Time Machine, all on Instagram. I'm also on Twitter, I Am Rich Wilson, I'm on there. I'm on Facebook as well, Rich Wilson. Membrane Podcast is on there as well. So you can get us everywhere. Come and find us, join up, link to us. You'll see where I'm gigging as well. I put my gig lists up, I'm all over the place, I'm everywhere. So if you want to come and see me do my comedy, you can come and have a look, see where I'm going to be at, and that'd be great. Be nice to see you. So anyway, I think that's the admin out of the way. That's a lot of admin this week. One day we'll be big enough to advertise mattresses and stamps.com. But for now, we've got our lovely little bunch. We're doing that. That's lovely. Thank you. So this week, I will say this actually. I will say this. So the last couple of months, I've been struggling a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been struggling with a bit of not knowing what my place is. Where am I? Where am I supposed to be? What is going on? Should I keep doing the podcast? And luckily, I've had producer Paul to tell me that, yes, you should keep doing the podcast because lots of people still enjoy it. You know, you get a little bit of self-doubt. You're like, God, what's the point? Am I wasting my time? Are people still enjoying this? And then you see that people are still enjoying it. And I had a big chat with producer Paul and he's like, yeah, stop being a dickhead. It's all fine. And so I feel reborn. I'm back at it again. But I haven't been in touch with people. I've been really slack at replying to messages. Just getting in my own head, just thinking that no one gives a fuck, you know, like, but people do. If you're feeling that way, I feel your pain, because it's debilitating. It really does. People just go, oh, you know, like I even say on it, like, I'll reach out, it's so hard. And I talk about it in this episode. It's so difficult to turn around and go, I need some help. And your mates get annoyed, they're like, well, you should have just said something. You're like, oh, I didn't think I could. You know, you get caught up in it, and it is debilitating, and you twist yourself up in knots to the point you don't do anything, you don't speak to anyone. So I'm coming at the other side now, and so if you've messaged me and I haven't replied, mates that are listening, if I haven't responded or I haven't rung yet, I'm really sorry. I'm going to do it. I'm coming back. I'm doing it. I'm coming back loud and proud. I'm going to do it. So it's all fine, and we're going to keep the podcast going. I had a moment. I had a wobble, but it's all fine. We're carrying on. Because it's bloody marvellous. I love doing it, and as long as you love hearing it, we'll keep doing it. This week's episode was with Ellis James. Ellis James is a great comedian that I met. I met him, must have been three, 4 years into my career. So I've known, I've not seen him in a long time, but we sort of 15 years ago maybe, 14, 15. A brilliantly funny man, and he's gone on to be a massive radio presenter. He does stuff with John Robbins, all manner of people. And I wanted to get him on for ages. It's one of those things, we must speak to Ellis, must speak to Ellis. And then we had Rod Gilbert and the wonderful Sian Harris on. And Sian was best mates with Ellis at school. And Ellis was mentioned in their episode of the podcast, and it was a really funny story, of which there'll be an excerpt of it in this episode. That was just, and we were like, we have to get Ellis on to explain this. So we did. We reached out to him and he went, yeah, I'd love to come on. And he did. And we had a lovely, lovely chat. We talk about all sorts in this one. Yeah, we talk about revenge, we talk about pranking, all sorts of things. So, well, I don't know why I'm telling you what you're going to hear, because you're going to hear it. So coming up in a minute is Ellis James.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
Insane in the membrane.
Hello, mate.
Hiya, mate. Sorry, Izzy's got COVID, so I've been held up.
Dude, I'm so sorry.
She's upstairs. I haven't seen her for 3 days. I just leave cups of tea by the door.
Oh, no. I have to post omelettes and pizza under the door. Yeah. All just flat food.
Yeah.
Is she okay, though?
She's all right. She's better today. Have you had it?
Yes, I had it in the first lockdown. I had the first sort of version.
Oh shit!
Which was abysmal. Yeah. It was weird. But then I had it recently, and it kind of just felt like a really bad cold.
Yeah. What was the original COVID like?
It was surreal because you didn't feel well, but you didn't feel. You just felt weird. You had no energy. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't do anything at all. You just had to lay there. Feeling weird, hot and cold and odd, achy and bizarre. Yeah. Your dreams were insane. Absolutely.
Yeah, a few
insane.
People have told me that.
Yeah, you really, I think maybe because we were locked down as well. So there weren't any of the normal distractions and the normal stresses of, oh, I need to be here, I need to be there. Because you were sort of spinning in your own dome. Your dreams,
yes, of course.
Your dreams, I think, was just going back over everything you've ever experienced. And all people from your past were popping up in your dreams.
Oh, my God.
It was bizarre.
Oh, no, thanks. Yeah, yeah.
Have you not had that one? You not had it?
I've not recovered at all. Izzy's got it now, but we avoided it until Friday night. She went to see Half Man, Half Biscuit in Nottingham.
Very cool.
And we think that is where she got it from.
Yeah.
But no, so she came back and felt rough. And I went to bed and I said, well, I've got quite a busy week, so if you've got a bad cold, I'll sleep in Betty anyway. And then she tested positive the next day, so...
Shit, mate. I mean, it's a cool way to get it, to be honest. Half man, half biscuits, brilliant.
Yeah, well, I mean, if we'd been able to get a babysitter, we both would have gone to that gig. So it was a toss of a coin that she got to use the ticket.
Yeah, oh, mate.
But never mind.
Well, get well soon, Izzy. I hope she's all right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, mate. Having seen films where they've had to lock someone away because they're contagious and then they become zombies and werewolves and all sorts. Can't imagine what's going on in that room right now. But are you good apart from that? You all right?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good, actually. Not too bad at all.
Good. Because you popped up on Rod and Sian's episode.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about when you were at school and Sian was telling us some stories. Because you were at school with Sian.
I was, yeah.
And she was telling us, we've got a clip, we're going to put it in, we'll put it in now.
Okay then, hold fire, yeah. Here it comes. This is, you've got some things to answer to, Ellis.
Right.
We were taken into a room by the teacher and then they talk about, whilst all the boys were outside like doing shapes on the window and like doing moonies and stuff. And they're like, ooh, they're talking about periods.
Was that Ellis, was it?
All of Ellis James. Yeah, Ellis James. I'm
sounds
naming
like
names.
James.
It does, yeah, it does. Yeah. But all the boys
he still
are
does that when you have your period. He still comes down here and moons through the window.
I lived with him for 10 years. He does. He's every month.
He's
every
got,
month
app he's got the app on his phone that he knows when you're on your period.
Clue.
That's what happened. You were in sync, weren't you?
Yeah.
That's what happened. Every time you were on a period, he'd pull his trousers down.
He's like, what, is that one of those clocks where yeah. I come out with my period and he comes out the other side and does a moon?
It got so bad. You were in sync with his bum and the moon rather than the moon.
The moon cycle. This is brilliant.
Oh my God.
Well, she's got me bunged to rights there. That's so, my teenage years in a nutshell, and that's when I lived with Sian for 10 years in a nutshell. She would have a period and I would put my trousers down. And to be honest, it's only now with the sort of, you know, looking back at it with arm's length, you know, because it's 10 years since I lived with her, it's only now that that becomes weird. But at the time, yeah. It just felt completely normal and rational.
It was, there we go, we all did it. We always
yeah, God. The 2000s. Women would have periods and their male housemates would just pull their trousers down. Good days.
I was saying earlier, I went to an all-boys school and there was a time when it was just an ocean of dicks. There was just dicks everywhere or arses everywhere. I remember we used to do a lesson.
Ocean.
Yeah, an ocean of dicks. It was just so many. Every time we turned around, someone had their dick out. It was disgusting. But I remember one of our lessons was motor vehicle studies, and we'd have old cars donated that we would fill around with the engines and we'd pull them apart and all that. And when I look back now, I'm like, oh, those are some classic cars that we fucked up.
Yeah.
But one of them, we used to sit in one, and the lads used to, like, at lunch break, and they'd smoke in the car and things like that. And it was the first time I heard Nina Simone, My Baby Just Cares For Me, because it came on the radio. And then Glenn Hutchins started to do a striptease in the car and just shoved his ass over the back seat, over the seats to where we were sitting. So every time I hear that song, I hear a Glenn Hutchins, I think of Glenn Hutchins' ass.
Yeah, teenage boys have got an amazing way of spoiling what could be quite nice memories. that should be amazing. It's your school days, your salad days, you're mending a classic car, you're hearing Nina Simone for the first time and... What's that? Oh, it's a bum. It's my friend's bum. It's always the same.
Yeah. And it, but like you've just said, you know, then it was just what happened. Everyone was like, yeah, it's fine.
We would, I don't know if, it's because all of the kids I know, and I know lots of kids, but they're all under the age of about 8.
Mm.
So I don't know anyone really between the ages of 8 and about 25 or 30. So the teenage years in the early 20s, really, apart from a couple of exceptions, are a gap. Now, think back to my own teenage years, very, very Mooney dominated. So we would get, a teacher of mine would organise buses to watch Welsh internationals in the football.
Yeah.
So my first experiences of watching football were going with the school because my dad didn't take me. And there'd be, I don't know, 5 or 6 coaches leaving our school at about 4:15 to get to kickoff, to Cardiff kickoff. And we'd be sort of passing each other on the motorway. And it was just Moonies. And now, now if I was driving along on the motorway on a bus and a friend of mine said, pull your trousers down and press your bum cheeks against the window, I'd say, are you insane? Of course, I'm not going to do that.
What,
you're mad.
And there were other people in other vehicles going, is that Ellis James?
Yeah, what's he doing? And also, I think the worst bit of a Mooney is then when you've got to pull your trousers and pants back up. Yep, finish that. That's done now. Yeah, I was showing my bum then, but now I think the time for bum showing is over, actually. So I'm just going to put my trousers and pants back up. And we can carry on with what we were discussing a minute ago.
Anyway, yeah. Oh, sorry, yeah. What were you saying?
What were you saying? Until I got bum out.
Oh, sorry about that. Just got distracted there. Anyway, back to you. I remember, you know, it's funny doing things like that. I remember doing gigs out in Cyprus. And there was
they had the army ones.
Yeah, and yeah, they had this. There was this truck, this four wheel drive truck that they had that we were allowed to use to get around. And I remember we were driven along by somebody, and they talked about someone that like, mucked around, like, stood on the foot rails on the side of this truck while it was moving. And we were driving along, and I went, oh, that'd be really fun, that'd be really fun. So I did it. So I got out of the truck, and I'm hanging on the side as it's driving along.
Sort of like A-Team style? Or
Yeah.
Sorry, any listeners to your podcast under the age of, like, 42 will not know what I'm talking about. But the Dukes of Hazzard, they never got into the car through the door.
No.
They would always jump in through the window. It was kind of a sort of a motif of the a recurring motif of the show.
Well, it was funny because the Dukes of Hazzard, their doors welded shut because it was a stock car, supposed to be a racing car. But you watch now. I watched Starsky and Hutch the other day, and there's bits where they're chasing cars around, and they're skidding around corners and they're like jumping across the bonnet and things like that. And I was watching it now, and I'm like, that's so. It's just quicker to just run round. Why are you jumping across the bonnet? And then skidding around corners, like, if you just took that a little slow, you'd have got around the corner quicker.
Also, if I was driving around in an old stock car and the doors were welded shut and I had to jump into the car through the window every time, by the third time, you've caught your knee.
Then you've got the shopping, you've left the shopping outside.
You know, completely disabled. You've caught your ankle, you've landed too hard, you've landed on your bum, on the sort of side of the window. No, thanks.
It's going to, the novelty's going to wear off pretty sharp, isn't it?
Well, I would just get into my car very, very gingerly. So it would take me ages to climb into the window because the doors were welded shut.
You'd have a little step. Step into.
Yeah, like little kids do when they learn to go to the toilet.
Just a little step.
Yeah, just a little plastic step for me to get into my stock car.
And then you'd have to lean out and fish it in. When you'd got in, you'd have to lean out and get the step. It's a different program now, this. This is more it like Last of the program. Summer Wine, Dukes of Hazzard style.
Sorry, I rudely interrupted you there.
No, it's fine. I was just talking about the fact that... So I got out and I'm hanging on the side of this truck. And then... But the people in the truck were just chatting away like I wasn't even there. So I'm just hanging on the side of this truck. It wasn't like, whoa, look what we're doing all together. It was like, they just carried on having a chat and I'm just hanging on the side of this truck.
Yeah.
It was pointless. So pointless.
But also, as a comic who's performing for soldiers in Cyprus as part of those British Army gigs, if you'd had an accident and fallen off a car, that would have been such a great comic's death. You'd have been on the front cover of Chortle. Cause of death, larking around. couldn't resist it. It's like lots of the comics who do those gigs, they often have their photos taken sort of holding guns.
Yeah.
And you just think, if this goes wrong again, that's a great comic's death, isn't it?
It'd be brilliant. It's the other comics that are on the gig holding an urn. And a steering wheel. It's what you wouldn't have wanted.
Oh,
that's the way you want to go, memorably.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I just want a really, really, I just want a really silly death. I've said this on a few things. I want to fall over in an awkward way for something to go up my bum and then for me to die from that.
found,
yeah. And it had actually gone up his bum until he died.
Like an umbrella or something like that. Yeah.
Like a big sort of like civil servant's umbrella. Like the kind of brawly people that did British films in the 60s. But I would really, just slip on it.
It'd be a really robust one, a really strong one that opened up and fanned you out. And they just find you. Just find you, just fanned out.
What was the funeral like? Oh, funny. I mean, we had a right laugh at the funeral. We just kept reenacting his cause of death. And
it rained, ironically.
Yeah. It was a funny-shaped coffin, mind you.
Like a mushroom. That's the best way I've heard anyone talk about death. I'd like that. I'd like to go in an unusual way. Just one minute I'm just walking along, next minute I'm just gone.
Yeah.
I think. I don't fancy the long, drawn-out kind of...
Oh, my God.
Can't wipe your own arse and all that sort of thing.
I heard a bloody horrendous story, though, from New York, where a bloke was just minding his own business, walking to work or something, and the pavement collapsed because it was an old Victorian-era sewer underneath him. Have you heard this?
No.
So he just fell into the sewer, landed on his back, at which point he was covered by thousands of rats.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine anything worse than that? So obviously he didn't want to... So in the end, the passers-by realised what had happened and they called 911 and they came to get him. But he was lying there trying to keep quiet because all these rats were on top of him and he didn't want to bring attention to himself, which strikes me as being one of the most terrifying things I've ever heard, I think.
Yeah. The fact that he had the wherewithal to go, I'm going to keep quiet...
So, yeah, yeah, pretty impressive, isn't it?
I'd be screaming my fucking head off.
I'd be screaming as well. I mean, to land on your back and then immediately be covered with rats and for you to not to go, fucking hell, fuck! Like, I occasionally, and I know I shouldn't, and I try not to, and the agreement is that I don't, but I occasionally swear in front of my kids. And... I don't know, like, I can't remember what it was. I was trying to fix a toy or something, and the sort of the screw I was trying to unscrew sort of snapped off.
Right.
And so that now means we can't change the batteries, and I know this is going to be upsetting. I said, oh, fuck's sake. Now, if I'm saying fuck's sake in that scenario, being covered with live rats, I mean, fuck's sake, it's not really sufficient, is it?
I don't think there's enough... There aren't enough words. There's not the word.
No.
I think it would just be, I'd be screaming at such a pitch. You probably wouldn't hear it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. All the bats in the area would be going absolutely crazy.
That's what you want. The rats, and then the bats turn up.
Because Rich Wilson's had a fall.
Oh, that poor fucker.
Yeah.
Because I know rats, I mean, I know somebody that had a rat. And they're extremely clever, and it was a wonderful pet, and they loved
it. Which makes it creepier, I think.
And it, yeah. But I think lots of them together, they would have been startled as well because of the thing falling in.
Yes.
So they'd feel under attack. Jesus.
I think I'm not scared of spiders, and I'm not scared of snakes. I mean, I would be if I was abroad. So I'm not scared of British spiders. I'm not scared of British domestic snakes. Although I did gigs in Australia about 10 years ago, and I remember being slightly more concerned about the spiders there because I didn't know which ones were dangerous and which ones weren't. But I thought that was quite rational. But so a normal spider doesn't bother me. But there is something about rats. I just think that they're the creepiest looking animal on earth, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And occasionally, because I live in London and this is the kind of thing that happens when you live in a big city, you will just see a dead rat on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And they always look like they've died in a sort of horrendous way as well. They're always like, they never look at peace, do they, dead rats?
No. Like they were just doing, they're just going about their day on a nice time. And
yeah.
And then they just died. No, there's always, it looks like something bad.
Traumatic event.
Yeah. I remember I used to deliver hairdressing wholesale products. I got to this place in Erith in South London.
Oh, yeah.
And as I got the box out, I saw in the corner of my eye by these bushes, I thought it was a cat. And I just looked, and it was the biggest rat I've ever seen in my entire life. It was massive. It was like a cat. And I shit myself.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It scurried at the bushes. The tail was so long. It just went off, and you're like, have I just seen the king of the rats? Like, have I just seen Shredder? Yeah. Jesus. It was massive.
Do you reckon he looks at himself in the mirror and thinks, I am pretty fucking big for a rat, actually. I'm just judging by, you know, the size of my mates and, you know, family and stuff. I am a big one. I'm scared. I'm scaring... you know, delivery men who sort of are delivering hair dressing products in the South London area. You've got lovely hair as well.
Sorry?
You've got lovely hair.
Oh, thank you very much. So have you.
Oh, thanks. You've gone for the old centre parting.
Only today. I've not put anything in it because I've got a hat today. I'm wearing a hat.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very nice.
You know, it's funny. When we first met, I often tell people this story. We didn't know each other. We didn't even know we were both on at the same gig. We were doing Silky's gig at...
In Cardiff. At the uni. The Royal College of Music and Drama.
That's it.
Where we were performing.
That's it. And we were... This is when I was more into my mod thing. I think... And we'd both seen each other from across the room. And we were both very similar in style, the mod thing.
Yes.
And silently to ourselves, we've gone, he looks cool.
Yeah.
And then Silky came in and went, oh, by the way, this is Ellis, this is Rich. And we were like, fuck, this is... Yeah.
And it's a bit like, occasionally I will be driving along or something with Izzy in the car and I will point someone out and I'll go, he goes to football. And she'll say, how do you know? I'll say, I can tell from his coat and from his trainers that he goes to football.
Yes.
It is inconceivable that man doesn't go to football because he's got a football coat and he's got football trainers. And it's part of the, I'm not really a comedian. I'm more of a sort of social anthropologist these days.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
Just clocking everyone in their stone island.
Yeah, like some David Attenborough, but for men.
Like real men, like football men.
Yeah, real lads.
But you can see there is a look. Where I live in Stratford, near West Ham Stadium. And they, when the football's on, you see the lads then, and they've all got their long coats or their long macs and their flat caps. And it's quite a look. And you can see you're going to the football. You know, you're...
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think actually there's less of this around. I think football in that sense is one of the last of those clothing-based subcultures that's still quite big, because I think you could date the British high street pretty accurately to the sort of 12 months, to the year, from about 1955 onwards, judging by how the teenagers would dress.
Yeah.
Because they'd be dressed like mods, or they'd be dressed like skinheads or hippies, or in a sort of more glam style, or in a more sort of a northern soul sort of style, and then there's the punk style. And I think... And then you've got, you know, through to sort of, you, of Smiths fans had a look, and then Stone Roses fans had a look, and blah, blah, blah. And then Acid House, all the ravers had a sort of very certain, distinct look. And a mate of mine, he lived in Brighton in the sort of early 80s, and he said it was a nightmare for me because I was a young mod. But I would want to walk down to the beach on a Saturday morning just to see my mates. But first off, I'd have to pass the skinheads, and they'd start on me.
Jesus.
And then if I'd managed to escape the skinheads, the casuals who were on their way to watch Brighton play would start on me. And then, it'd be the punks. And then the punks might start on me. So there was the punks, skins and the casuals were all trying to chase me. Then by the time I got to the beach, I was knackered and scared. and then you'd have the goths and you'd be like, well, they're all right. They're not going to bother anyone. That's one that still exists. You still see, especially in smaller towns, you still see kids who are dressed like goths.
Goths are still huge. There's a huge community. There is a massive mod community. It's an older generation now. They're still fighting the fight. They're still there. I remember going to a scooter rally and there was these massive skinheads there, scooter boys. Huge, and they were. And if you were to encounter them in any other situation, you'd be a bit worried. You'd be a bit, oh shit, that looks like, because of the stereotypes. You're kind of like, oh, he's going to kick off. Like the shiniest Doc Martens I've ever seen, immaculately turned out, beautiful looking men, incredible, but massive, and they look like any minute now it's going to kick off. But
big
then this
necks.
northern soul tune kicked in, and they become like ballet dancers.
Yeah.
These massive skinheads just pirouetting around, and it was one of the most glorious things I've ever seen.
Well, the Cardiff City hooligan firm were called the Soul Crew because the two things they liked were fighting and soul music. I mean, and if it sounds like a lie, but that is true. The thing with mods or subculture that's still going, I used to know a bloke in Cardiff who ran Mod Nights. And he booked out this huge venue. And he said, "Will you come?" And I said, "Absolutely." And I went and I was the first one there. So it's a completely empty dance floor. The music's really, really loud. And my mate was behind the decks playing sort of soul tunes and stuff. And this venue was massive. And I thought, oh my God, he's going to lose an absolute fortune. So after about an hour, it's still just me.
Oh no.
And I thought, well, I can't dance because it would look like I'm taking the piss. So I just sort of sat next to him and had a few pints, thinking, you know, offering him to buy him drinks because I thought he's going to be in turmoil.
Yeah.
And he kept saying to me, there is a coachload of mods coming from East London and there is a coachload of mods coming from Birmingham and they will be here. And I remember thinking, mate, you're deluded. there is no coachload of Cockney mods. It's just not going to happen. And at about midnight, they all turned up.
What?
And this is probably 2005. So I reckon a few of them would have been, they were all much older. So I reckon a few of them would have been first generation 60s mods properly. Because they were all in their 60s. And they were all bald because they'd all lost their hair. But they all had immaculately sort of tailored Italian suits. They all looked the part. They all looked great. And they were amazing dancers.
Mm.
But it was like something out of a film. I thought, for hours, I thought he was lying / deluded / you know, just, I thought he's lost it if he thinks this. And then the coachload of Brummy mods turned up as well. And then they went. It was like a sort of mod fairy tale. When they end, they all got mods back on the bus.
See, it's a beautiful thing. I love it when things work out. And it is, I've loved fashion since I can remember. And it's funny, I watched that film, Away Days. I'm not really big on football, but I love that film because it talks about the fashion and it talks about the relationship between the lads in the gang and how they weren't really into the fighting. They were just part of something and they wanted to get away from it. And then he's got a stack of Adidas boxes and he's got the Adidas Forest Hills with the ones with the yellow sole. And it's brilliant. It's just a nice moment. But yeah, I've always been fascinated by the connection between music, fashion, and football. Or you know, it's amazing.
And I think as well, I think the men who dress like that, I suppose nowadays they'd be known. I mean, in the '80s they were known as dressers or trendies, but they're sort of known as casuals now. That's how they're written about in the press. I think interestingly, I think they're dressing for other men.
Yeah.
They're not dressing for women to find them attractive.
No.
They're dressing for other men to go, that's a nice jacket.
Which is a mod thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I quite like the peacockery of it.
Yeah.
Going to watch your team, but thinking that you're an ambassador for your team, so you want to wear a nice jacket so that fans of other clubs don't think that your team has got scruffy fans. I love that.
That's lovely. I've never heard that before. It's a good point, actually. And it is true, there is that. I do remember when I used to go to mod nights, and even now when I wear stuff, there's a certain kind of person that I want to say, like, you look great, mate.
Yes, absolutely.
Great. It's not even about being attractive to people. I want this people that I know or see around.
Yes.
You look cool, man. You look cool.
There's a certain kind of person who I want to go, that's a nice jacket.
Yeah.
And to be honest, if the others don't like it, it doesn't really bother me.
No.
But the ones I want to notice, if they notice, I think, good.
Yeah.
Done my job.
But it is about that. We still want affirmation from our peers or people that we admire. We still want to feel like we're part of something, even though at the same time we want to be individual. But at the same time, we want to be part of something.
Yeah.
It's a real weird mixture.
That's why when bands who were not critically acclaimed but who were very popular would win the audience vote at, I don't know, the Brits or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they would say, this means more to us because it's voted for by the fans than by the critics. I would always think, bollocks. Bollocks.
Yeah, you're chatting
shit,
mate.
To be on the front cover of The Enemy, have to get 10 out of 10 album reviews. You'd love it. I don't believe you for a second. Yeah, I don't care what the critics say, don't you?
No, of course you don't.
Sounds like a lie, that, Mick.
That's why you're here.
Yeah.
But it's unusual that, because, I mean, again, we're probably talking stereotypes, but because you're Welsh, I just assumed you'd be more into your rugby than your football.
No, absolutely not. No, my dad is. Mm. So I, as I mentioned, those school trips with the Moonies, that was where my first football matches were with the school, because my dad would take me to rugby.
Yeah.
But I sort of lost interest in rugby by my early teens. I think mainly because Welsh team had a good side in the football and a very bad team in the rugby by that point.
Mm.
And also, it just wasn't... I went to a real rugby school, so there's... Stephen Jones, the British Lion, was a couple of years ahead of me.
Yeah, right.
Ken Owens, the British Lion, he was in my sister's class. We had quite a few... So Welsh internationals had been to my school. Mm. Two were there when I was there. But it wasn't really a very... Because I'm quite small. I was very, very thin when I was a teenager. And I never thought it was a very accessible game if you were small.
Yes.
And also, I didn't like the rugby club stuff of eating cat food and drinking pints of silk.
Yeah, the shenanigans.
The shenanigans really did put me off. And nowadays, looking back at it, I find the shenanigans, sort of the secondhand stories of the shenanigans 25 years on, very, very funny. But at the time, I was really desperate not to be involved in any shenanigans. And I didn't want to have to do a butt funnel or any of that stuff. Or...
But do you know what? I'm friends with a rugby player. And one, he's one of the biggest men I've ever seen. Like real, like proper professional rugby players.
Oh, huge.
Are giants.
Yeah,
fucking
yeah.
Fucking massive. And even though, we get pissed and all of us having a drink. And this is when we're with our partners as well. Like, you know, we're all getting pissed. And it ended up my then wife at the time, she's in the kitchen with her mates. I'm in the lounge with him and we're all getting pissed. And there's this drinking going, you've got to drink whatever I tell you, otherwise you've got to do a forfeit. And it got to the point I just couldn't drink anymore. I was, my last drink, I'd kind of drunk it and then was nearly puked it back up again. I was that bad. I'm like, I can't do anymore. I'm going to have to do the forfeit. I ended up with his nut in my mouth. And like I said, he was a giant man. This is a big nut.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did it really quickly. I just went, well, why has it got to be that? Why can't it be something else?
You did it really quickly?
Yeah, he kind of whopped it out and I went, oh, like that. And so I gummed it.
Oh, that's good. So over and done with, nice and quick.
Done and, there. Yeah, you're in and out.
Done and dusted. In and out.
Love a job, jobbed.
Make it sound like... That's how I discuss the sort of the MMR vaccine with my kids. Just in and out, job done, wallet.
I'm really piling through this to-do list today. Oh, nip to the shops, get some milk.
Yeah.
Gum a nut.
Gum a nut. Yeah, I quite like sort of second or third hand shenanigan stories. Yeah. I just never wanted to be at the centre of shenanigans.
No, it doesn't look fun. I don't like anyone that tells me, like, oh, I love pranks. I love watching the prank shows. I'm like, no, I don't like. Oh, you're a shitbag.
Not a prank guy.
No.
Also, I'm not very imaginative. And I'm certainly not very imaginative when it comes to pranks. So it would be, I don't know, someone said, oh, should we do a prank? What would be a really good prank? But I don't know, should we just, I don't know, like, piss in some milk? Sorry. It's not very, you know, it's like some pranks, they'll take like months of planning. And you see it online and, you know, some bloke, he's gone to lectures and he left the house at 10 to 9 and they know he's not going to be back until 10 past 5. And in that time, they'll have turned his bedroom into a beach and there'll be deck chairs and there'll be like loads of sand and buckets and spades and all that kind of stuff. And he'll just be like, that's a great prank. Yeah, yeah, good prank. Oh, what did I just do? He pissed in my milk. Pretty low rent, actually.
More annoying than anything.
Yeah, more just...
It's not, just I've just bought
an
that
annoyance.
Well. It was a fresh carton. I've got to go and buy some more milk.
Yeah, nice one.
Thanks, mate. Anyway, I'll go and sit in my beach. You go and get me some more milk, dickhead.
Yeah, I'm going to go and do an assignment in my beach.
I do remember being away again at gigs, and there was a comedian, Steve Harris. And he, every time I'm with him, it's what he does. He's just prank after prank. And I love him dearly, but after all, you're like, oh, fuck's sake. Yeah, you can't take your eye off him for a minute.
Yeah.
And I remember I got up to go to the loo, and he just squirted water over me. Oh, no, that was it. I'd gone to the loo. And while I said to him as I left, I went, don't fuck with my stuff, which is a ridiculous, it's an invitation, isn't it?
Yes, it like is. That. Yeah, you'd be naive then.
Yeah, it would be ridiculous. You've opened the doors. You've opened the doors. Let him in. It's like
don't engage me in fun, okay?
Yeah. Don't fuck with my shit. It's basically inviting a vampire into your house.
Yeah.
So I went to the toilet and I came back. And as I walked back into the room, he squirted me with water. And I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Did it look like you pissed yourself?
No, just all over me. Yeah, it was on my trousers mainly. It was all over me. And so,
was it before you'd done your set?
This was during the afternoon. We were all kind of we were in these like bunks.
Well, that's more annoying.
Yeah. So I'm like, fuck's sake. So now I'm dicking around and I'm like, I'm gonna have to get changed. And I'm messing around. Everybody else in the room is killing themselves laughing. And I'm thinking, I'm having the gig of my life. Everyone's pissing themselves laughing.
Yeah.
The more I gooned about, the funnier, more people laughed. They were filming it. And I'm like, oh my God, and I'm playing up to the camera, mucking around. So then I take my trousers off and I go to put these other trousers on and I put my leg in and I put one leg in first and then that's fine. Went to put the other one in and he'd sewn it shut. In the short time I was in the toilet, he'd managed to sew my leg shut on my trousers. And I just happened to put one leg in first and then went to put the other one on and I was like, what's going on here? I thought I'd caught my foot in like a crease or something like that. And I'm trying to, by now the whole room is falling around. And then I suddenly twig what's going on. And like, you bunch of wankers, and you let me goon about, and you were all like, I thought you were laughing at me.
That's also.
With what I was doing.
In the time you were in the toilet, you managed to sew your trousers shut.
I was in the toilet 5 minutes, if that.
That is absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah. Yeah. He managed to sew them shut in a matter of seconds. I don't know how he managed it to this day. And every year when it comes up on his memories, he reposts the video because it's on Facebook.
That man is dedicated to pranking.
Isn't it? I mean, it's horrible. It's funny now, but at the time I was so embarrassed. But you kind of just have to ride it out and laugh and go along with it. But I was so embarrassed.
And I haven't got that much dedication to anything.
Good. It's not a good thing to be. It's just torture people.
What creates a prankster?
It's got to be a shit house, isn't it? You've got to have a weird upbringing. I think he was brought up with five sisters and they terrorised him.
Yeah, I was going to say, it must be a sibling thing, I reckon. Yeah. I reckon if you've got maybe siblings of a similar age, I reckon that would be quite big.
Yeah.
But no, it just all seems like a lot of. I just don't think I've got enough energy to be a prankster.
You're very low, low key. It would have been, like you just said, there'd be sneaky pranks. I think or whatever you at the time. If something came to mind, you'd go, "Oh yeah, I'll just do that." Like pissing in the milk.
Yeah, I remember a mate when I was in my early 20s, and he was upset with his housemate. I remember him smoking into her milk.
Oh God!
I remember thinking, what if? We're animals. What is happening? Why? Have it out with her.
Yeah, just talk to her. Why have you got to fuck her up?
Talk to her, man.
Yeah.
Why are you smoking to another person's milk?
This is a different level, isn't it? This isn't. You don't want to resolve the issue. You want revenge. And for whatever slight has come your way, that you some imagined slight, you're like, right, I'm going to ruin your life.
Revenge is a funny one. I thought I was the norm, but actually don't think I am anymore. I've never ever felt the desire to exact revenge on someone.
Really?
No, like I follow a Twitter account called Fesshole.
Yeah.
Where people anonymously confess to their darker secrets. And a lot of them are, oh, my ex dumped me by text message, so I did X, Y, and Z. You know, I saw one the other day where he or she had bought like 100 sets of keys and written his phone number on the keys and then left them all around, you know, London or Manchester, wherever they lived. So people would find these keys and think, oh my God, I need to let this person know. How lucky that his phone number is attached to the keys. So it means I can return it. So he just got hundreds of messages that from people saying, I've got your keys, which is very imaginative. I just think if I'd been dumped in horrendous circumstances, I think I'd brood more than exact revenge on someone, I think.
Yeah, I've thought there's a moment in the middle of being pissed off, and I've gone, fuck this. I'm gonna go and shit through your letterbox or something.
Yeah,
but I calmed down quick enough. I'm like, what's the point? Makes it worse.
I think what would calm you down or make you see sense would be the moment the envelope touched your naked bum. I think then you think to yourself, what am I doing?
I'm shitting into an envelope.
Shitting into an envelope, you mad idiot.
That says more about where you are mentally than I am. Because when I thought it, I was just going to go around it and just shit directly through the letterbox, where you're going to post it to them.
Yeah. Oh,
it's a very organised thing.
Well, I think I am
assuming... And it would be more practical.
...that shitting directly into a letterbox is a criminal offence, and I think, as is posting excrement, that's a criminal offence. But I think it would be easier to get away with, I think, if you were posting it. Also, it's likely to be caught when you're doing this, presumably under cover of darkness.
Mm, yes.
You know, it's a very exposing position to be in.
Yeah, and you can't stop once you've started. So someone finds you.
Yeah, and running away with a sort of shitty ass would be a horrible experience if you were caught. It'd be itchy and embarrassing.
Oh God, yeah, because you wouldn't have time. They wouldn't let you wipe yourself down.
No.
It's evidence. So you have to sit with that crusty, itchy ass.
There wouldn't be a moment of the whole episode where you felt good.
It's definitely not the revenge. The person you've done it to just wins again.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then with the envelope as well, you'd have to make sure you didn't lick the envelope. You have to get one of those gummed ones because
because
then there's DNA on there. There's evidence that
yes,
it was
that's
you.
True. I think I'm assuming that the police, if they took it seriously enough, could take DNA from your feces.
Do you think? Yeah, because I suppose they could be in there, wouldn't it?
It'd be in there again. Not a very nice job for a PC plot. That was work. Horrible.
Some lunatic.
Yeah.
Who got dumped. That was it.
Anyway, we know it was Rich Wilson. He left a return address on the back of the envelope. We're going to go nick him tomorrow.
He's so organised.
Yeah, registered post.
He got a sign for it. Oh, my God. Well, I'm glad we had this conversation because it now means that maybe someone listening to this will think twice before exacting any kind of revenge. Kind of, if someone's upset you to that point, either talk to them or, you know, or just, oh, fuck them. You know, if they want to be that shit, good luck to them.
Because
they'll do it to someone else. They'll just keep doing it and then they'll end up alone. So,
yeah, because we are of a similar age.
Mm.
So the two of us both remember, although it's going back a while now, John Wayne Bobbitt, remember him?
God, yeah. Yeah.
So she sliced off his penis whilst he was asleep, from what I remember.
Yeah.
And then drove off and threw into a hedge.
Oh, God. Oh, because hadn't he been cheating or something like that?
I mean...
Whatever it was,
I think that the punishment is disproportionate.
Yeah.
It was the fight. It was the bloody. It was the. It was the finale. It was the fact that as a denouement, throwing the penis into a hedge was always my favourite bit of that news story. And then he went into pornography, from what I remember.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did with his rebuilt member.
With his rebuilt penis.
I mean, that is someone that you've fucked off to such a level that they will drive your penis into the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
So that you will never find it.
Imagine looking for it.
And then getting caught by the police. What are you doing?
Yeah. We, I couldn't find my son's birth certificate quite recently. And we were going up to the deadline where he wouldn't have been able to go to school if we hadn't found if we hadn't found this birth certificate. And we eventually found it, but there was a lot of pressure on the search.
Mm.
And so I thought, until I mentioned John Wayne Bobbitt, someone who hasn't been in the news now for almost 30 years, I thought I knew what a high-pressure search was. But imagine looking in just a hedge. And you can't use a metal detector or anything. just the naked eye, a torch and a lot of hope.
She's on the doorstep going, cold, colder. Oh, getting warmer.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I mean, there's nothing that warrants that. Getting your fella.
No. It's quite medieval, isn't it?
Yeah, God, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've trapped my penis in the zip of my jeans once.
Ooh.
Yeah, you'll only do it once.
Yeah.
You'll never. Once you've done it once, you are forever prepared.
Yeah, my dad's best mate did that at school.
Yeah.
In about 1966. Jesus. And it's a story that was passed down the generations. Oh, yeah, what a nasty little episode that would be.
Because you can't...
Ow, ow, ow.
Because what they say is you've got to just whip it down really quickly. And...
Oh,
Sorry to any listeners. Well, I remember, is it something about Mary or something like that, when he gets his bits caught in the zip and he just... And then the guy goes, whoa, he goes, how'd you get the beans above the Frank?
I'm just going to butt in here because I'm obviously work for Comedy Central. We now have a warning whenever we play that film, and the warning says reviewers should be aware that this film contains the worst zipper malfunction on film, and we have to put that there as a verbal warning to
wow.
In case it triggers anybody.
Oh, God.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, well done.
Trivia.
Well, so, yeah.
Ow, ow, ow.
I mean, that's gonna fuck with your mental health, that.
Yes.
We should move on.
Oh.
We should move on.
You'd wear tracksuits for the rest of your life, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course you would. I remember being, the first time I had a pair of jeans with buttons, the relief of the likelihood of you buttoning up your fella.
So, yeah.
It's not going to happen.
No, there are too many processes before you would get to that stage.
Yeah, no one's in that much of a rush.
No, absolutely not.
But I mean, the talk of mental health is now, it's good, we're all talking about it, and it's good. But, and like you said earlier, like we're of a similar age, you and I, but have you been able to talk about your feelings and, you know, about... How, you know, can you, are there people that you've been able to sort of talk about these things with?
Nish Kumar made a very interesting point. I read an interview with him, and Nish is about 5 years younger than me, I think.
Mm.
And he said, my generation are the worst because we know we're meant to get therapy, but none of us ever bother. And we tell everyone else to do it, but we don't do it ourselves. I'm a little bit, I'm about 5 years older than Nish. And I think, that, yes, I think that I'd sort of, Sian, you've had on this podcast, was my best friend at school. So obviously, because she was a girl, she was far more open about her feelings than my male friends were.
Yeah.
But then, you know, having worked so closely with John Robbins, who is a tremendously emotionally intelligent person and a very emotionally articulate person. Yes, I am, and obviously Izzy, but I think I've always had people in my life who I've been able to talk to. And my mum and dad, in fairness, were very open people when I was younger, but still ultimately, it was still sort of West Wales in the 80s and 90s. And I remember, you know, crying in school at secondary school for whatever reason. And it was immensely embarrassing.
Mm.
And I remember getting a basketball in the face.
Oof.
And you can't get a basketball in the face without shedding a tear.
No. God, no.
But then everyone's like, he's fucking crying. So it was still a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I, you know, the small experience I've had of teenagers, because obviously my kids are younger than that, but certainly the teenagers I am aware of and all their parents who I know, I think that especially boys are better or seem to be better at opening up than when I was, certainly when I was in school in the 1990s.
Definitely, yeah.
I'd have been, you know, if a friend of mine actually had come up to me in school and said, oh, I'm struggling with something or I'm upset about something, I wouldn't have seen anything wrong with it because my mum is a very, very open person, especially, as is my dad, but mum is a very, very approachable person. But I just can't imagine, I can barely imagine it happening.
Yeah.
And I think people probably are better at this stuff now. But I've always been lucky because with Izzy and John and Sian, especially when I was younger, there's always been someone. But I think if you don't have that, it must be absolutely crippling.
Yeah.
Because even if you do have very strong friendships and even if you do have very open relationships with people where you're able to discuss your feelings, usually something will crop up that you think, oh, I'm not comfortable to talk about this. And one thing I've noticed actually is I think I process bad news differently to some people. So lots of my friends, if something bad happens to them, they will want to discuss it immediately.
Yeah.
Whereas I will not want to tell anyone initially until I've absorbed it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I've absorbed it a bit, I am more comfortable in discussing the thing, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
So I tend to, if I've had bad news or if something's upset me, I tend to go quiet, I think.
Yeah, same.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but I think some people initially, especially the people who are more open, will say, oh, you know, he's a closed book. Or it's not that, I'm just waiting until I'm ready.
Mm.
And I think waiting until you're ready is, I think there's a lot to be said about it. I remember talking to Mark Watson, and he said, people, there's such pressure on talking.
Yeah.
And he was saying that, I actually love a text message.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a conversation or a phone call. I think there's something actually about, I think it's probably to do with the fact that you can prepare what you're saying a little bit and you can review it as you're about to send it. I think that texting or messaging or, you know, emailing or whatever, I think is quite often a little bit overlooked. I think it's quite underrated when it comes to discussing your feelings. But I still think though, I mean, I think there's a little aspect of me though that wants to keep things in house.
I get you. Yeah.
There are certain things I probably wouldn't tell everyone. And I think confidentiality, if I have confided in someone and said, please don't tell him, that would mean quite a lot. And I would then be upset if they said, of course not. I mean, I told Andy.
But yeah, it was Andy.
Who's Andy?
Okay. Yeah. I tell you, it's funny, actually. I'm the same. I've just coming out of it now. I've had a few months where I've just been in my own head and wondering what to do next. And then I'm the worst. I say on here all the time, just talk to me or drop me a line, message me or blah, blah, blah. But just recently, I've not been able to talk to people. And it got really bad.
Yeah.
And then I've had a few things happen. Sadly, some people died and it's not been very good. But it just suddenly clicked the other day. It just kind of went, I don't know, you just do it. People, you're going to be fine. And so I spoke to a mate. And then it suddenly felt better. I'm like, okay, yeah. I'd built it up so much that it just got...
Yes.
I did need to go. Because I didn't know how to ask in the end. I didn't know how to start the conversation. So in the end, I just had to go, I'm feeling really shit. And then that was it. It went from
and
that.
And also, if they're your mates, they'll listen.
Yeah.
And if they're your mates, they won't judge you. I also think that sometimes your oldest friends aren't the people to talk about because they know too much of your backstory.
Yeah.
I think sometimes talking to a newer friend who won't remember how you'd have reacted or responded to this thing when you were 15, 20, 25, 30 or 35.
Yeah.
Is actually quite helpful because I think if you're opening up someone and confiding in someone, what you are choosing to say, those are the headlines, and that's the thing that's how you want to express it.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes, obviously not everyone, but I think this is more to do with the person who's opening up. They think, oh, well, now they're going to remember that thing I said in 2001.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That can put an odd pressure on the on the conversation. It's why I think one of the saddest aspects of getting older is that you tend not to make new friends. Certainly not as much.
No.
Or if you do, it's in a work environment.
I think
we're lucky because I think stand-up in particular leads to very strong friendships,
yes,
in my experience.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that stand-ups are as bitchy or as bitter as the stereotype would suggest.
No.
So I've made some brilliant friends out of stand-up. But yeah, it's funny, when you eventually do say the thing that's been weighing on your mind, it does tend to be a big burden of relief. Like, I read Governor B, the rapper's book.
Yeah.
And he talked about his father died very suddenly. And there's a passage in the book where, because of his upbringing and his mum and dad were from Ghana and he was brought up on a council estate in East London, I think, he felt completely unable to cry in front of anyone because of his upbringing.
Yeah.
And he said there was an enormous pressure when his father died on him not to cry, so he didn't cry at the funeral. And it's quite a powerful passage in the book. And then he does eventually cry. I think he cries in like a garden shed or something, a few weeks after his father passed away. And then he said that night was the first night I'd slept.
Wow.
And you think, what a powerful thing that is. And it shows that it's very, very natural. Like I remember, I would never tell my kids off for crying.
No.
Whereas certainly when I was young, that was something other mums and dads did all the time. You'd always hear that.
All the time.
What are you bloody crying for?
Yeah.
What are you bloody crying for? It's mad, isn't it? He's six. He's crazy. He's six.
I'm very emotional. I'll cry. Even now, I cry at films. I blub my eyes out at the holiday at Christmas.
Oh, God.
Cried my eyes out. I just cried.
And sporting montages. It's really embarrassing. If I was ever invited to quit into Sports Personality of the Year, I'd be an absolute bloody mess by about halfway in.
It's funny that my
God, they did so well at the curling and I don't even like the Winter Olympics.
I remember very recently talking about, I remember when I was a kid, so my dad was into his rugby, not really football. JPR Williams was everywhere. It was always JPR Williams all the time. And because he had such an unusual name, I just loved it. JPR Williams, JPR Williams.
Those huge sideburns.
Huge sideburns. And then you see pictures of him now and you're like, oh, that's not how I remember you. Of course you've aged. That was 40 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, shit.
Well, get this right. JPR Williams, I think he made his debut for Wales in 1969. He was still playing rugby until 2002.
Oh, my God.
He was playing for like his village team.
Jeez.
As a sort of 55-year-old. Isn't that amazing?
He just loved it that much.
Just loved it, yeah.
But he was a proper, or is, he's a proper legend. Like one of the old school, like getting arrested for drunk driving and being pissed. And
well, he was an
athlete. It's not good, but
he was a doctor as well. I mean, rugby was still amateur in those days. So he was a surgeon in the Heath.
Was he?
In Cardiff. Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
And so he was a doctor Monday to Friday, and he was playing for Wales at Cardiff Arms Park for England from 65,000 people on Saturday afternoons. And not getting paid for it, incredibly.
Jesus. Just, see, this is a different world, isn't it? And now it's become such a money-making machine, all sports have.
But do you reckon, because in those days, they didn't used to go into the dressing room at half-time, so they'd sort of eat their oranges.
Oh, yeah.
On the pitch. Do you reckon they ever like looked around at 65,000 people all walk into the concourse to buy a hot dog and a Kit Kat and a cup of tea and stuff and think to themselves, they've all paid for tickets. There's a lot of money in this sport. But
it must have done.
We're live on BBC One. We're,
Why don't we get any of it? I've only got one slice of orange. It's not going to get me through the second half.
One slice of orange and petrol expenses.
You really had to love it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I suppose you did. Yeah. Mate, this has been lovely. Thank you so much for coming on.
It's my pleasure. I've not seen for ages.
No, it's been a long time. Well, you kind of went off and became a radio superstar. I don't see you.
Oh, superstar's very, I'm not sure I'd agree with that. A radio. Just a radio.
You went off and became a radio. Yeah. Where can we find you? Are you on social media? I don't know.
I'm on social media. I'm on Twitter, and I'm at Ellis James. I'm on Instagram at Ellis_James_content.
Nice.
But I often forget to post on Instagram. I only follow about 3 people on Instagram. It makes it a very, very relaxing platform. That's a tip for you. I've considered unfollowing everyone on Twitter.
Yeah. You can mute people.
Yeah. That's the one thing as well. I reckon I would be far more productive if I came off social media.
Yeah, same.
It's
when you go, I've got so many things I should be doing. And then you go, oh my God, it's been an hour. I'm still sitting in my pants on the bed.
Yes, on the bed.
I'm not even dressed yet.
watching a montage of ex-Man United and Scotland striker Brian McClair retrieving the ball from the net. And it's not even his goals. It's just a montage of him retrieving the ball from the net. Why am I watching this? Oh, I'm watching this because I absolutely love it.
Do you know, it's funny. I'm not even into football, but I've been watching, compilations of like the greatest goals and things like that.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And I'm not even into football, but some of the goals, you just go, how the fuck did he get that in there? I think it's because I was watching Ted Lasso and it kind of got me all fired up.
I do a football podcast and we're recording this about a week after Wales beat Austria in a World Cup playoff semi-final. And I do a football podcast with Iwan Roberts, who played for Leicester, Norwich and Wales, and Danny Gabardon, who played for West Ham and Cardiff and Crystal Palace and Wales. And Gareth Bale scored this free kick. And Iwan went, I'm just watching it back. How does he do that? I thought, you played in the Premier League. And you sound like me.
Of all the people out of the two of us.
Yeah. How does he do that? And we were like kids. How does he do that? I suppose that's a mark of the man, isn't it?
It is. It just goes to show you what a smashing fella. This has been lovely. Thanks, Ellis. Really appreciate it, mate.
My pleasure.
Give my love to Izzy and I hope she gets well soon.
I will do. Thank you.
And you take care.
Cheers, mate.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.